This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Thursday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. Russell LeBaire back with you. The Top 5 at 5 this afternoon brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the Drive, GP3.
Thank you. Here we go. Number 1, Todd Helton has been named as a entry into the College Baseball Hall of Fame.
Well, it's about darn time.
Yeah, I always knew he was really good, but I never knew how good. I went and looked at his numbers, and I can't believe it's taken this long.
Did he hit over 400 his senior season?
I think so that year, but as a career, he hit 370, which is still incredible. And as a pitcher, he was lights out.
He was awesome.
He was filthy. I mean, just filthy nasty.
There were games his last year where Delmonico would start him. He'd be our starting pitcher, and then he'd get tired, and they'd leave him in the game, move him over to first base, and then they'd bring him in to close. Like I think he saved games that he won. Yeah.
Okay, because, if he never left the field, I guess he could.
Yeah. Delmonico did that several times. Scott Treffle was another one. He was a center fielder who could also pitch.
Yeah.
And he would bring him in to pitch to a couple of guys and then bring in another pitcher and move Schreffel back to center, and then bring him in later. Again, like he pitched multiple times in the same game.
Todd Helton's one of the best athletes that's ever come out of Knoxville.
I mean, really, the question is, does he go into Cooperstown?
I think you can make a solid argument for it, but they hold against him. I'm telling you, the writer's going to hold against him that he played out in Colorado.
Yeah, but he wasn't a power hitter. Though,
yeah, I know.
Is the thing.
What he'd always been since high school was he's a hitter.
He's just a line drive, doubles, in the gap.
He holds Tennessee's record for most home runs.
Yeah.
I think it's 38.
Don't get me wrong. Like he could go yard for sure, but, I mean, he was –
his
on base percentage was known for.
Crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got a compelling case. I'm no expert on what it takes, but, I mean, he's eligible now, right? It's been 5 years.
Yeah, he should be eligible coming up on the next ballot because there was nobody inducted this past year. Nobody got the percentage vote.
I think the thing that's going to
pretty quick.
The thing that's going to hold him back more is they were in the World Series that one year against was the Red Sox. Who'd they lose to in the World Series?
He kind of disappear.
I have no idea. I can't.
I'm not making that up, right? The Rockies were in a World Series 5 or 6 years ago.
Not 5 or 6 years ago. There's no way.
Maybe longer, 10 years?
Maybe look it up.
All right. We'll find it. Go ahead.
All right.
Go with your little top five at five, GP3.
Go on, move on to number 2. Sticking with baseball, the Phillies catcher JT Realmuto, arguably one of the best catchers in baseball right now, was put on the COVID IL, but not because he had COVID, but because he had a stomach ache. Their manager said that in this time right now, even though his test came back negative, that they couldn't be too careful, so with his stomach ache, they put him on the COVID reserve list.
What? Can you do that? I mean, that feels like it should be against the rules. It feels like only people with COVID should go on the COVID reserve list.
I don't know why you would want him out. Like I said, he's one of the best catchers in the game right now, if not the best. But, yeah, they put him on the COVID IL. His test came back negative, apparently, but he just said to anybody who's sick right now, you can't take that chance.
And so does he have to stay out 2 weeks? Or whatever the 10 days, whatever it is.
I think once he starts feeling better, they'll give him another test. If it comes back negative, they'll let him play again.
I think it's going to come back negative.
Yeah.
Call me crazy.
All right, the Pac-12 has found their new commissioner to replace Larry Scott. George Kliakoff, who was the former president of entertainment and sports for MGM Resorts, will take over that role for the Pac-12 now.
Wasn't Larry Scott another one of these outside-the-box hires where he was from corporate America or something? And
yeah, I believe so.
I mean, maybe that's what you have to do. You have to mix it up because they're perceived as being behind and they need to do something to break into the college football playoff, namely. But I don't know, man. It just seems like the SEC philosophy of we're going to hire a lawyer who's been in college sports and – as particular and as conference experience, it just seems like that's a better formula for him.
He said that one of his main goals is to work on the name, image, and likeness stuff for the schools within the Pac-12. But he will begin his five-year contract starting July 1st.
I'm already sick of hearing about name, image, and likeness. Are you guys? Are you sick of this topic yet?
Yeah. Very much.
And we're only
– So much that I'll tune out and glaze my eyes aglaze.
It hasn't even started yet.
I'll start thinking about something else.
We are like 7 months away from it starting as well.
And then it's going to be a five-year period of kind of feeling it out, seeing how it goes. It may be longer. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, number four, Ohio State has fired their masseuse for their players. The reason being, she was having sex with too many players.
Is there a number of players she's allowed to have sex with?
I guess as many as don't tell on you.
How many players was she having sex with?
Didn't specify.
Wow. Wow.
She trying to get – I mean, what was –
It's a good massage, man.
All right.
Hold on. We can unpack that. That feels like not a good thing to be involved with if you're Ohio State. You want to keep that.
What? One of your trainers sleeping with? Yeah. Yeah. You would.
And it didn't even leak out. Ohio State released a statement saying that this is their reasoning behind it.
So did they know?
I would imagine
that they were going to get in trouble.
Who?
Ohio State. Like, what would be the reason to self-report in this situation? You know, well, that
well because you've
come
got
out.
Somebody on your staff.
Is it an NCAA situation?
Is it Title Nine?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Title Nine.
I don't know.
What, they weren't offering the sex to the female athletes too?
Well, no. It would fall under the sexual.
Yeah, the sexual misconduct and.
Yeah. Because she's in a position of authority over the scholarship athletes because she's an employee of the university as a massage therapist. That's where the trouble comes from, and that's where the massive liability at Ohio State comes from.
So here's an interesting –
Because they're employing her.
Here's an interesting part of the story from Channel 10 News, WBNS. Barnes and Thornburg said the board's investigation was delayed for nearly a year until someone shared the complaint with the Ohio State University Police Division. According to Barnes and Thornburg, the investigation began with a complaint filed on March 14th of last year, and the school became aware of the situation in March involving an independent massage therapist who, quote, engaged in inappropriate and expletive behavior.
So it wasn't an employee of the university.
The members of the football team.
Targeting?
Yeah,
like
the way
I'm blackmailing them or something?
No, the way I read it, it kind of left me wondering if maybe she was trying to. It sounds so bizarre.
Like, get a relationship with the football player.
Yeah,
so
not a relationship.
She could cash in on it.
Not necessarily wanting a relationship out of a famous football player, but maybe a child.
Ooh. How about this? During their investigation, they found that the therapist offered massages to players through social media, leaving the impression that she had a legitimate business, but with the intent of engaging them in sexual encounters.
The more Rick talks, the more this lady sounds like a predator.
Deshaun Watson's over there thinking, man, where was this lady when I was sliding in those DMs?
She needed to
make
slide
it
in
so
more.
Easy. God.
He'd have married her.
Oh, man.
I don't know. She sounds like, kind of predatory to me.
I was going to.
What Rick's saying.
I was wondering when the first Deshaun Watson reference was going to be dropped. That was a good one.
All right, we can move on from that one. Last one, number five. A woman up in Michigan was rushed to the hospital a few nights ago after she accidentally glued her eyes shut. She went to bed with her contacts in.
Wait. Did we not do this Friday?
I feel like we did.
Oh, I wasn't here Friday.
This must have been Hickman. It's okay. I feel it's like this right. Is you want to do it again, or should we just no?
Oh, my bad. I wasn't here Friday.
It's okay. You're off the hook here. But
This is why we
jettisoned Hickman to. This is part of why this is good that GP3 is the guy. Now this won't happen again. Yeah. I feel like this has happened way too much.
Can he tag me in like a great tag team? Because I got a crazy story I was telling you about.
This is. I feel good about this.
A
all right, tag
team.
Him in.
Is,
here we go.
Is this the one we talked about this morning, Rick?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
You're gonna do it. Okay, hit it.
Chicken supply is. Not good. Mm-hmm. There is a chicken shortage out there in the world, and according to the Tyson COO, Donnie King, it's all because their one male rooster is having some
get a load of this
cock-a-doodle-doo problems.
They've got one rooster.
Quote, "We're changing out a male that, quite frankly, we made a bad decision on," said Donnie King.
Whoa. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is Tyson?
This is Tyson.
Tyson.
So one of the world's biggest producers of chicken.
Yeah.
The way they make the chicken is with one rooster.
Sounds like he has to get
this
around.
This is what it sounds like. The meat processor.
So one rooster,
and they're blaming
has been siring all the Tyson chicken I've been eating for however long that rooster's been alive?
You've been eating a lot of the same rooster's kids, essentially. At least
put it like that.
That's what we're thinking,
right?
It doesn't sound very good.
Because their chicken shortages are in massive decline right now. And again, it's because they're big male, right? The big hoss.
Quick question,
Rick Butler.
He's not entirely
getting it done. Yes, sir.
Why would you not have more than one rooster? Seems like you'd want to spread that work. It seems like an awful lot of work for one fella to take on.
It does seem like
a
lot of work.
Maybe it creates confrontation between the...
And I kind of feel like the rooster's
competition
getting...
Competition and survival of the fittest.
He's really getting a bad rap here. I mean, the little fella's probably worn out.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, how much is enough?
What do you expect this guy? Just to be servicing all the hens in the entire tight... I mean, how many hens are there?
Clearly, a lot.
I mean, they supply the bulk of the nation's fresh chicken that we eat.
My man's just going from hen house to hen house. He's like, all right, I'm back. You know the deal. Come on, let's do it.
He's the Ohio
She's
State
like,
masseuse.
Really? Really? You won't even put on any music? No foreplay at all? He's like, listen, you're my fifth appointment today. Let's get to it, woman. I got five other houses to visit before lunch. What do you think I...
Foreman's on my ass.
I'm not some machine.
That's what you always say. You you never bring me flowers.
Wait, is this coming from personal experience here? This is sounding a little bit non-rehearsed.
No, I'm just saying. You know how it goes. I mean, guys of certain age out there, we kind of empathize with this chick. This rooster.
Want to watch me ESPN?
It does seem like an easy fix out here.
When you add a couple of roosters.
The chicken shortage is due to supply shortage. We had the shutdown because of COVID and their regulations and everything.
Workers.
We all sort of understand that. But if it's because there's only one rooster, and how about this guy, the CEO, coming off the top rope on it and say, he's not getting it done. How about you get my man some help? Dude,
I mean, he's treating this like a quarterback.
Not getting it done. It's a rooster. I think you're not getting it done, buddy. How about this? How about we fire that guy? How about we fire the CEO of Tyson Chicken for being so dumb to leave this to one single rooster? How about that? It's a rooster. He don't even know what. All he knows is he's getting a little worn out here. I mean, good grief, man. What a terrible business plan. I tell you, I'll fix this in one fell swoop. I got a neighbor like two houses down, a big chicken coop over there. I'll go get you a new rooster. Boom. Doubled your workforce. Chicken shortage solved. Thank you. I feel like I should get paid for that. $1 million. Be nice. Thank you.
I mean, to be honest with you, I feel really bad for the rooster.
He did kind of
get
slandered.
I wonder what his name is. Yeah, he did.
He said, the COO said, we're changing out a male that, quite frankly, we made a bad decision on.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, come on. What's the decision here? But obviously, it was the bad one, as this rooster is not getting it done. Lower hatch rates.
I think he's getting it done. He's been getting it done for so long now that he needs a tag team partner. He needs somebody to come in.
He sure does.
Help him out.
Uh-oh. The company declined to share what will happen to the rejected rooster.
You better give that rooster the good life,
roosters.
Man.
Let him go be on the farm and cock-a-doodle-doo and all that.
You tell me he's going to be on the next sandwich I eat up at Rickard Ridge for lunch sometime after a life like that. He ought to be in the Rooster Hall of Fame somewhere.
Yeah, you wouldn't get it up there.
BK Vol says, does the Tyson rooster know the Ohio State masseuse?
BK, he's a clown, isn't
he? All right. Thank you, GP3, the top 5-5 brought to you by Citizens National Bank, the official bank of the drive, online at cnbtn.com. That's Citizens National Bank. Look for their Financial Freedom Friday post coming up tomorrow on a Twitter feed near you. Our phone number, as we get set to go open lines the rest of the way here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Speaking of Rickard Rich, today's smoking hot question, how many games will the Base Vols win this weekend against number one Arkansas? 202 votes cast now at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. 48% of the audience says two games. Vol fans feeling it right now. 38.1% say one game. 10.9% say we're going to sweep. 2.5% say zero games. Vols get swept. Let's hope that doesn't happen. 865-546-8200, your number. We've got this Tennessee baseball fever on the drive in Knoxville. And it's interesting. Do you think that some of the focus on the baseball team, we know it is, but how much of the focus on the baseball team is a byproduct of fans
wanting something to root for?
That and more specifically, losing interest a little bit in the football side of things.
I mean, I definitely think it's a factor. I mean, I know that it's why I'm following it as close as, you know, I mean, as close as I follow anything other than football. But
Because of football?
Yeah, just because we haven't had anything to feel good about when you're looking at University of Tennessee student athletes. I mean, we haven't seen a whole lot of winning other than, basketball. But, I mean, football's just been so down. And yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, Vitello's exciting. They play an exciting, you know. He probably puts the most entertaining product on the field over there out of everybody.
See, it's I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way. I feel like I would be this invested in this baseball program even if football were humming along just fine. I feel like
Maybe I misunderstood the question.
I feel like my interest in it is independent of football. Don't get me wrong. I wish football were better, but I have
– Well, yeah.
I feel like I still have the capacity to be interested in multiple things at one time. And listen, like, the level of attention that I pay to football has not diminished at all. I'm still paying the same amount of attention to it. It just doesn't feel as good because the team isn't as good. But, I mean, we're still following the transfer portal, the recruiting. You've got camps opening up next week. We're talking about the schedule. We're talking about the first game, moving the opener to Thursday. What does that mean for Pitt? What does that mean for Florida? What are the big – we're still having these conversations. There's just not much confidence from Tennessee fans right now, and a bit of just exhaustion from everything that happened over the previous year around football. But I feel like I would still be paying this much attention to what Tony Vitello and this baseball program are doing right now, even if Jeremy Pruitt had just completed a nice 7-3 year and he's going into year 4 and there's no NCAA investigation. I don't feel like my interest in baseball would be any different.
Well, having said all that, I don't disagree with that. In the early 90s, when we got really good in baseball, we were already really good at football. I remember it caught fire. It's really similar. It's not that much different. I lived through both, you know. I mean, people were fired up back then. When Helton was here, that crew, I mean, this town caught fire that spring.
I feel like. Like I told Rusty, I feel like this is different, man. I feel like this is another level. And, again, maybe
– it's not a promise. It just seems like it.
Rusty disagreed. I mean, we weren't having the conversation. I know in 2005 – I mean, do you remember any of the players on the 05 team besides Hoshaver? I don't. We weren't talking about expanding Lindsey Nelson Stadium. We weren't talking about – even in 95 when that was the first time we went, right, since I think we went once in the 50s, right? But it was a new thing, right? And you had these local stars, Helton and all those guys. I mean, there wasn't a talk about, oh, my God, we got to lock up Rod Delmonico. We got to keep him. It was fun, but it was an anomaly. And it was very much a distraction. Maybe that's not the best word for it, but it was something to do until Peyton and the boys get it rolling again this fall in football.
Yeah.
I feel like this
I don't know. I'm enjoying it. Enjoying every day of it.
I feel like this is a different level of interest that we're seeing in baseball. And I'll tell you what else is and like not trying to take credit for it or anything, but Vitello's accessibility and way he's able to promote his product, and for a guy that doesn't, he's not on Twitter at all. He's got an account, but he never uses it, right?
Right.
But a guy who will come on the radio and cut up with us and everything, Rick Barnes doesn't do that. Josh Heupel doesn't do that. None of the previous football coaches have done that. The only guy who really did it was Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
Donnie Tindall did it, but he wasn't here long enough to.
He would have.
Yeah, I think he probably would have.
But, yeah, had a little bit of P.T. Barnum in him.
But it also goes back to what I always say, if you love Knoxville, Knoxville will love you back. And I think Vitello has been able to tap into that. And I think that counts, man. I think that people have sort of rallied to that. They want to see a guy who invests back in, say, the community. I mean, not talking about – and I'm sure he does some charitable stuff. I'm not talking about, like, a second harvest food drive or something. I'm talking about a guy who will man of the people. He's not too good to come on the drive. And as a matter of fact, when he's on there, he's just one of the guys.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll get these phone calls rolled when we continue. Also got a little hot take, cold take coming up for you. It's The Drive right here on Fan Run Radio. Back with more after this.
The Drive.
So you're watching. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Phones we go. Westchester is next. Good afternoon, Westchester.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Good, good, good. Hey, Russ, when we were in school, the tall guy wasn't putting any money in baseball because there was no baseball program in the country that was making money because of the travel expenses. Even like Fullerton, whatever, that was winning all that time out there.
Yeah, so. But you can't say that he didn't put any money in baseball when they built Lindsey Nelson Stadium in 1993.
Yeah, the $1 million net. I get all that.
I mean, I know it goes against the narrative of Doug Dickey didn't care about anything but football, but baseball was different then. I mean, it was not. There's no SEC network, so none of these games are televised, right? None of them.
Right.
And so it wasn't a huge thing. And people forget Lindsey Nelson. I mean, people talk about it like it's some eyesore right now. I don't really see that.
It was nice when it opened.
It was state-of-the-art when it opened. I mean, it was probably as good, if not better, than any baseball stadium in the league, if not the country, for a college team. But the problem is it's –
that was almost 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's almost 30 years ago, and you haven't really done much to – you had a couple of minor renovations, and it's time to do a major renovation. It's time to – I don't know that you have to knock it down and start over, but I'm talking major add-on. You got to gut it on the inside, improve the exterior. We need some brick work out there, some outfield seating, more permanent porch set up.
Set aside tailgate area.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds great. Seats down the left field line. I mean, there's a lot that and look, the other thing I'll say, Westchester, is it doesn't have to all be done. I don't think we have to rush it so that it's in place for next season. I would rather wait an entire another year and get a plan so that we have a really nice stadium like Texas A&M, like Mississippi State, like Ole Miss, like Arkansas, than – Oh my God, we got to keep Tony, so we got to keep it. Was just a, let's just Band-Aid approach and then have more seats, but it doesn't look nice.
Yeah, you're better off just waiting.
Yeah, I'd rather
let's come up with a clear, concise plan.
Let's do it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do it right. Let's go all out. Let's get the money set aside for it. And
it needs to be a cathedral. It needs to be, when it opens up, it needs to be the nicest stadium because it'll be the newest. I feel like it needs to be the nicest stadium in the country until somebody comes along and builds another one. So, but if you've got a team, that's why the team will close out strong this year. Come up with some kind of phase plan.
okay, let's, that's all good on paper, but how much longer is Tony going to say, we'll build it, going to sit around for, we'll build it next year, we'll build it next year, we'll build it next year? I mean, we've talked about this already. He's a hot commodity. Schools are going to be looking at him, and we haven't invested money in the program to expand the stadium. We don't have anything on paper as far as we know. So, you know, how can we say we can wait till next year when we're on the verge of losing, possibly
I don't know, maybe,
losing our coach?
Here's the thing is there have been plans. Rusty's told us about this. They had plans for a nice redo a couple of years ago. So maybe those plans are already – maybe they can't get it ready to go. Maybe they've already got a nice master plan and maybe they can get it a quick turner. I don't know. I'm not an architect, just some dude with a microphone.
No, we'll find out soon enough, let's be honest.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, my thing is, and I've been saying it for weeks now, I think it's all going to come down to trust. I think we'd all agree that Danny White, barring some unforeseen disaster, which you cannot totally rule out at this place, is going to be here for a couple of years, right, at least. How much does Vitello trust in what he's selling him on the vision is, hey, okay, we might not we can do this right. We can do it big, man. We can go big. But it's going to take 4 or 5 years. We can do the Band-Aid approach, and maybe we do just roll in some bleachers so we have more seats and everything next season. But we're going to come up with a baller design, and it's going to look awesome. We're going to have that classic look with all the brickwork and everything outside. It's going to look really cool, man. Might take a year or two. Might take 2 or 3 years. But this is exactly what we're going to do. And can he get Tony to believe in that vision? I think he can. I'm optimistic on this. I think we're going to get it done. But ultimately, it's up to Vitello. He's the one who's going to decide whether or not he believes in the vision, thinks he can get it done here, or whether he'd be better off somewhere else.
Now, Russ, can you ask, because Bear won't listen to me, can you ask Bear to take his finger off the button while I talk about this next subject? Because he already poo-pooed me on this morning, so I want to talk to you about it. I want to get a fair shot.
No, because if you slander the greatest quarterback who ever lived, your appearance on today's show is going to be very short.
Just go ahead, West Jeter. We'll see.
Well, thanks, Russ. So, allegedly, on the weekend that we just got Todd Helton inducted into the College Baseball Hall of Fame, allegedly, we're bringing back Peyton Manning to throw out the first pitch on tomorrow, right? Is that confirmed?
It hasn't been confirmed. It's what it sounds like.
So, we have plenty of baseball success stories that we could bring out to throw that first pitch. And even the great mayor of Sono admitted that he is suffering from a little bit of Peyton Manning fatigue. Do we have to keep rolling this guy out? Like, why are we going to bring out Peyton for baseball game? Like, that's kind of
because he's Peyton Manning. He's the most famous living graduate of your university and the most recognizable ambassador for your brand in the world. That's why. I mean,
he's also one of your biggest boosters.
How are you going to grow your baseball program when you're not going to celebrate the success?
I don't know. How are you? Like, what would be better than bringing Peyton?
Oh, I don't know. Todd Helton. After he just got inducted into the College Baseball Hall of Fame?
There are 3 games. Can he do one?
I'd rather have him do Friday.
I mean, I feel like we're splitting atoms right here. It's not that big a deal. Look, I mean, I agree with you. Like, Helton should throw out the – I mean, it'd be super cool. And it is timely now with this announcement today. Yeah, it would be cool if Helton would throw out the first pitch tomorrow and you can honor him, but if Peyton's only in town for a day or whatever, then you rearrange the schedule. I don't think it's a big deal.
You also have a ring holding World Series ring pitcher in Luke Kochaver, and you have a world famous knuckleball thrower in R.A. Dickey, and you know you're going to bring out a football guy. I don't think you're like I said.
Whoa! It's not a football guy. All right.
It's Peyton Manning.
Not a football guy, Westchester. It's Peyton freaking Manning. Put some respect on his name.
Okay. So if we're going to bring him out tomorrow, then let's do it right. Let's let him throw a strike. He gets his first pitch, and then somehow, somebody from the dugout, probably not Tony because he's too busy, somebody throws him a football, and if he can still make the distance, then he throws it over the right field line, right field wall from the mound.
Do what? He throws a football over the right field wall?
Right, he throws a home run.
Westchester, you're –
to get the game
he
started.
Throws a home run. You're overthinking this, buddy. Just it's Peyton Manning. He comes out. He tips his cap. He throws the first pitch. Crowd goes wild. We kick Arkansas's ass. That's all there is to it.
Boom.
That's all there is to it.
Oh, come on. The crowd would go wild if you threw a football from the mound over a 320-foot.
First of all,
that would be
if he could, he'd still be playing in the NFL, Westchester.
Well, dude, right. A 300.
That's what you could be arguing about earlier.
So
Bear.
You
come
think
–
I'm no math major, but 300 feet would be a football field. Would
right.
be 100
we
yards.
Know he can't
so
do
it's four.
We
so
know he can't
you
do it.
Throw a football? Oh, he couldn't punt a football over the. What are you talking about, Westchester? How many beers deep are you right now?
Well, that's my point. Is Bear got mad at me earlier for saying that he couldn't do it? Of course he couldn't do it. It's impossible.
Answer the question, Westchester. How many beers
Three.
Deep are you? Don't lie.
Three.
Don't you lie to me, Westchester.
Three. I'm not lying.
You
three.
Know what? You know what the rules are.
I know. I'm on three.
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
Thank you, Westchester. Keeping things rolling here this afternoon. Willie is up next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Hello, Willie.
I guess that's the first time I've ever agreed with Westchester 100%.
You think Peyton Manning should come and try and throw a football over the right field fence? This, I feel like this is –
No. He has no damn business throwing out the first pitch. He should be the greatest baseball player in UT history, Todd Helton.
Really? This is what we're going to – we're going to fight about this? We're going to argue? We're going to have it out over whether Peyton or Todd Helton should throw out the first pitch tomorrow?
No, but all you got to do to get Peyton to damn – bounce it up there and be good. Put up a Florida sign behind home plate, and he damn sure throw he bounce one up there.
Go Gator!
Why you have to do that, Wes? What are you doing, Willie? What are you doing right now?
You love Peyton.
But the reason I called is because about this stadium deal. I think that the answer is to partner. What's the guy over there that's running UT now? What's
Randy
his name?
Boyd.
Yeah, Randy Boyd. I say UT take some of their money and put it in with Randy Boyd's money and build an immaculate stadium down there for the Smokies and the Vols. Guys, that's not very far from UT, from the UT's campus.
It's totally different.
And then invest a little bit of money in Lindsey Nelson and make it an immaculate practice facility.
So here's my one thing about why that's a little bit different, and I think that having the students right there on campus, instead of having to take an Uber downtown, instead of having to get in their car and drive downtown and then get drunk and then drive back, I think it is so unbelievably important for the camp, for the stadium to be right there on campus, especially where it is, right next to Fraternity Row. Let's not act like the legends of Lindsey Nelson would have traveled to every darn game if they couldn't walk from their backyard. I think... It's great to have a downtown stadium, but I think there are so many valuable things to having a campus, to having a stadium right there on campus where it's at right now. And to me, it's a lot about the students.
Well, here's the thing about it. You can use both.
Sure.
And you can have two-thirds of you can have your big attractions down there at the downtown stadium. And then I just think that I don't see – which UT loves to flush money down the toilet. I don't see investing a lot of money in Lindsey Nelson Stadium because it's landlocked. I mean, I don't see that they can do a lot with it. Do you,
Bear? That's one of the problems over there when there's just not a whole lot of land.
Yeah, there's a road that goes through both outfield
sides.
I
wish there was some way we could put it on, but they'll never do that, like put it on the south side of the river, down around the bend a little bit.
I think that it's an interesting idea, Willie, and I hear what you're saying. And the thing I would add is probably one of the best ballparks in the conference in the country is Alex Box Stadium in Baton Rouge. And I don't know if it's technically on campus, but it's not smack dab in the middle There's a big street that you have to cross and go over there, and their football practice facility is on that side as well. And it's not super accessible for the general student body, and they still draw more people to those games than anybody in the country. But here's where I'm at with it is we've got Tony Vitello, and we need to give him what he wants. And I'm telling you, because we've talked about it with him before, he wants the on-campus stadium.
Dubsy, I'll agree with that. Give Vitello what he wants.
He wants the on-campus stadium.
Yeah, he doesn't want to play at the pro stadium.
Has he come out and said that?
Yeah, on the show. He said okay. he didn't rule out playing games if Smoky Stadium's down there, but no, I mean, he wants his own stadium on campus. His place.
It's just a shame they got that those damn railroad tracks down there, down the left field line and down the right field.
I kind of like them.
The Boneyard?
I like it.
The Boneyard?
You might want to just get a little bit creative and incorporate it into the plan. I don't know. They could do some stuff down there. I like the fact that it might be a hitter's park. I know I keep going back to that, but I think it's kind of cool. Power Alley over there.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not an architect, so I'm not really qualified to comment on it. But I just think it'd be nice to have a great, nice downtown stadium.
I'll tell you, Willie, the one thing they're good at over there is building stuff. Most of that stuff they build over there looks really nice. It's all red brick and beautiful looking.
If Tony wants to build the stadium on the moon, that's where they ought to build it. you got to take care of this guy, Willie. He's Bruce Pearl on the baseball field. Like Bear says, man, we got to keep him.
Baseball Bruce Pearl.
I agree with that.
Base
so,
Bruce.
So when's Tennessee going to do the Tennessee thing and stab him in the back?
Come on, Willie.
Like they did King Johnny and Bruce Pearl. They probably – Danny White guy, he's probably sharpening his blade right now.
No. Why would you say that? Danny No-Nugs?
Because it's the University of Tennessee. Dumbass university.
Oh, stop. Willie, you don't mean that, man. There's some good things going on over there right now.
Tony Vitello's the only one.
Rick Barnes bringing in two more five-star recruits in June for visits. I mean, he's got that thing rolling.
Hey, let's see what he does in March. But I do like Kelly Harper bringing in that assistant from Louisville.
What do you like about it?
A winning program. And I think she knows she needs to upgrade
the
program.
She said this year is not good enough. This is Pat Summitt's program. We are not just going to be content with making it to the NCAA tournament. It's not good enough.
I agree. I like Kelly Harper. I think she's going to do a great job. And I don't even watch Lady Vols basketball. But if she'll get them back, I'll start watching again. I used to when Pat Summitt was coaching.
Oh, man, the Lady Vols. Playing in a Final Four Monday night national championship game. Are you kidding me? Must watch TV. Thank you, Willie. Appreciate you, bud.
See you.
Willie making his presence felt here. So we get this baseball stadium
built.
He
does not take much for him to get emotional about King Johnny.
Get Tennessee baseball on the top of this league in this country. Josh Heupel, get this thing rolling. Get Uncle Rick past the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I'll get there.
And get the Tennessee Lady Vols back where they belong, on top of the women's game. We got to fix this thing, man. We got to fix this thing. Tired of these off seasons. Tired of these off seasons of discontent. I want to have an off season like we used to have. An off season of anticipation. An off season of wonder. An off season of joy. Can happen again. Tell you what else can happen again. Hot Take, Cold Take, brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. It happens next, right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hot Take, Cold Take, brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. GP3.
All right, I got a bit of an all-baseball schedule for you today.
Okay.
All right, first one, Todd Helton will be in the MLB Hall of Fame.
That's a tough one.
It's been a while since I've looked up the stat. I know that it's a borderline case. Like, he's got a good case. It's not a slam dunk. Of course, we all want it for him. But it's going to be tough. Like Bear said, they're going to hold – some people might hold it against him that he played in Coors Field. Some people might hold it against him that he never won a World Series. I mean, I think that he was just a natural. I don't think he was doping in a time when pretty much everybody was. He was never all about the long ball, even though he had power. He was a pure hitter, and I think that ought to be rewarded. So,
do you want to hear the stats?
I would say hot take. Stats? Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, he had a career batting average of .316. 369 home runs, 2,519 hits, an on-base percentage of .414, and an OPS of .953.
He's also a five-time All-Star, three-time Golden Glove, and spent 17 years with the Rockies.
It's a borderline case, man, because it's not a ton of hits. It's a ton of hits, but you know, a lot of the guys that are going in from that era are going to have well over 3,000 hits. A lot of guys,
yeah, but like you said,
home runs.
Should he get more? Should he get credit for not being a juice head? Because he wasn't a juice head.
Well, it's the thing about the Hall of Fame, man. This is all
subjective.
That kid
was humongous at like 14. He was huge.
I don't know. I don't know what the Hall voters think. I'll say it's a hot take though. He's a Hall of Famer in my book.
Yeah, I'll hot take it as well. He damn well ought to be.
All right, I'll go 3 for 3.
All right. Tim Corbin, making $2.3 million a year, is overpaid.
It's an interesting one, right? Because we got our guy in here making, what, $650 something
no,
like that?
I looked his up. He's making $400,000.
Vitello is $400,000?
Yeah, I think he's got some bonuses.
Yeah, I think with the options.
That's base salary.
He gets up to over $600,000. I mean, that's by far the most in the country. The guy does have two national championships. He's the reigning national champion. He's won all these championships, conference titles, put guys in the pros.
Was he making more than Derek Mason was towards the end there?
No.
I don't think so.
Mason was making about three, about.
I'm going to say cold take. If you've got it, you pay it. He's worth it. I know it's a lot of money, but –
I mean, I'm going to cold take it as well. I mean, it's the market's what the market is. You know, Vanderbilt thinks he's worth it, and obviously they do, and he's filled their trophy case. It's one of the only sports they're successful in long term, so no, it's cold take. He's worth it.
I think I would happily add it, you know, $1 million, you know, you get $2 million there for two national championships. I think I would take that for two championships.
All right, next one, Nashville. Will have an MLB team within the next 7 years.
I'll say cold take because I don't think they're going to get the A's, and then who is it? And even if another team pops up, that's a process that takes several years. So I don't know if they ever get one, but I certainly don't think it's going to be within 7 years.
Our West Coast correspondent, or West Coast legend, CG, Chris Gabriel, he convinced me today that it looks like Vegas and Portland are two big spots for an MLB team, and about the whole alignment thing. So all those things that we heard today on the show has made me say, no, I don't think so.
I'll just add.
Now, 7 years is long, right? But so who's going to be the next maybe? I don't know. That's too hard of a conversation.
Well, Barry said it earlier. I think it's the Rays. If they have any
I think you're both wrong. Yeah. I think it's a hot take because I think Major League Baseball wants to be in that market.
I think Las Vegas makes a lot of sense because it's such a big place. It's booming, and there's not any other teams for a big radius around there.
Yeah.
But can I just add, baseball doesn't seem like a very Vegas thing. I get going to a Raiders game in that awesome stadium. I get going to an NHL game in Vegas. I don't know if I'm jetting away for the weekend. I don't know if I want to spend 3.5 hours at a baseball game.
Are they able to put, like, slot machines?
That's what I'm saying. You see the nightclubs that they throw into the end zones of their football stadium? I bet that thing is loaded with nightclubs and DJ booths and all the most ridiculous things you've ever
seen. Laser
shows
going out there.
Oh, my God. The baseball traditionalists are going to lose their minds. DJ booths on the field. It's going to be incredible.
Okay, you kind of convinced me. That does sound kind of cool. All right.
All right. Two more. Chad Dallas will pitch 7 innings and allow no more than 3 earned runs.
Oof.
Hot
take.
Hot.
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 Although I'm a little bit cooler on the three runs, I'm definitely,
earned
I
runs.
Think,
three earned,
in
runs.
Earned runs. Okay. We do make some errors. Some, yeah. We do let up a lot of runs due to errors.
Yeah, but we're going to be dialed in tomorrow, man.
Dialed in.
Arkansas does that same deal we do, though. They make pitchers throw a lot of balls. They're really patient.
It's a grudge match.
They get a lot of walks.
Yeah, these two teams are number one and two in walks, so
yeah.
It's going to be a long series in terms of runtime. They'll be walking to the bases a lot.
Yeah, these guys definitely sit in the batter's box and wait until they get the pitch they want. They aren't swinging at just anything.
You're right there.
Yeah, I am.
Make me have to clear my throat.
Hmm. All right, last one for you guys. Sunflower seeds are the best ballpark snack.
Oh, what are you doing?
False.
What are you doing?
Ice.
False.
It's
cold take.
Mr. Freeze.
You just sit there. Everybody. So you're in a row at the ball game. One guy's got a hot dog. One guy's got a funnel cake. One guy's got one of like helmets with the ice cream in it. Somebody's got Cracker Jacks, peanuts. And you're sitting there with a damn bag of sunflower seeds thinking you're the king of this row.
All right, Cracker Jacks are overrated, first off.
You'll hush your
I would
mouth.
I agree with that.
Not very much.
Sunflower seeds?
Yes.
Come
let's
on,
just get out of here.
That's ridiculous.
Terrible take.
I used to go through a bag of sunflower seeds like
it's
a day.
Disgusting.
You're hurting this man's feelings, guys.
So back when I used to play, I would go through sunflower seeds all the time.
Yeah, you guys spit those things everywhere. It's disgusting. It's filthy.
Cold take.
Ice.
Peanuts are just as messy, right? Is it just not the
messier
spitting?
Because peanut guy, at least sunflower
guy
seed
sucks.
Guy often will have a cup and spit the shells in the cup. Peanut guy don't care. Peanut guy's just throwing those shells wherever.
Yeah.
And if they happen to get under your feet, then I'll tell you what, the problem is nasty. Somebody's got to clean that up. Are you raising a barn?
Yeah, but it's not the same as me spitting sunflower seed shells out of my mouth. It's some kind of nasty, like, saliva encased
Are you
goo.
Walking on all fours? Like,
no, but it's just disgusting to step on that stuff. So you're over there. Poof, 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 poof. Damn sunflower seeds, like you're some kind of cow or something.
You eat sunflower seeds weird. That's what I'm
No, I you watch it. Watch TV.
I
That's
mean,
all they do. They
no,
sit
I'm,
there
I'm
and they
with
pop Bear. Them
it is,
open
it is
they
on
eat
your
the
mouth.
Seed and then they spit it out.
I mean, it's in your mouth. You're spitting it
I mean,
out.
It's a less carcinogenic version of chewing tobacco. it's just gross. If you aren't doing it, it's disgusting. If you are doing it, you don't care. Anyhow.
All right.
Terrible take. Hot
Thank
dog,
you.
Pretzels.
That is hot take, cold take, brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. And you can check them out online, bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. Got any issues with your heating or air unit, give them a call at 865-299-2290. Or again, that website, bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. I still got to go with the soft serve batting helmet.
Oh, yeah.
Plastic batting helmet.
With
a
fudge.
Ice, vanilla, chocolate, not Dippin' Dots, soft serve ice cream, Rick Butler. Come on, Dippin' Dots. What are you doing, man?
Are
you get the caramel or the fudge?
Just,
if I'm going
fudge,
if I'm going
chocolate,
swirl.
Chocolate, vanilla, swirl. Don't overcomplicate this, folks. Don't overcomplicate this.
There's nothing wrong with a ribbon of caramel.
I like the Dippin' Dots.
Dippin' Dots are not, that's not ice cream.
What are Dippin' Dots? I've never
it's
had them.
It's Super Sub Zero.
It's the ice cream of the future. That's what their slogan
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Ice cream of the future, Russ.
It's been the ice cream of the future for the past 30 years. I still never had one.
It's like frozen like CO2. It's like super cold.
Above anything else, it is one thing. Overpriced.
That's why I've never had it. It's like, I'm not going to pay $8 for something that I don't even know if I'm going to like. I'll stick with
ice
cream, okay?
You're going to like it, but you're just going to pay too much.
I don't know. I mean, am I going to like colored ice? It looks like somebody took one of those
hole
punchers and just took out a bunch of holes of construction paper. I don't know if I'm going to like that.
It's terrible. It's terrible. It gives you a vicious brain freeze.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Bear. Thank you, GP3. That's going to do it for us. Have a great Thursday evening. Overtime coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.